specifically has been in applying these interactive techniques to the fan chart. So rather than just explain it to you, I'd rather demonstrate how this works, a brief demo of the software. So here we have a very small, just two-generation fan chart. And to show that, like, the middle person, the descendant, has a child, we just draw a small circle in the middle. If you click on that, then the fan chart automatically expands to grow one more generation. You can keep on doing that as long as there's a circle in the center. So the fan chart grows to accommodate the spots you're interested in. And in case you want to, you know, in case you're not quite as interested in a certain branch of the family, you want to, you know, pay more attention to another branch, you can collapse one branch of the family, and then it gives more space to another ancestor. And if you want to restore it to its original shape, you just click on it again. And so that way the diagram, instead of being a static chart, is kind of a dynamic way where you can accommodate, I mean, give more space to the parts that you are interested in. And, also, in contrast to most fan chart software, I mean, or just genealogy software in general, it usually lets you edit the data in the standard pedigree chart view, but the fan charts are usually just a static display medium. You can't change them. So if you want to, like an interactive fan chart, you should be able to edit the data right there in place in the fan chart. And so, like, suppose if you have more information about this person and you know that you know what the F stands for and you didn't before through more research, then you can just edit right there, and then the change is updated in the fan chart directly. You don't have to go back to a pedigree chart to make your edits like you would other times in other software. And another kind of eye candy feature is that you can rotate the fan chart arbitrarily. And my two-year-old daughter loves this part. I can entertain for hours rotating the fan chart. And we disable the text rendering during the rotation just for optimization purposes. And, but this is also has a practical advantage too, in case you want to display a certain part of the family on top or on the left or right. With traditional fan chart software, you kind of get whatever the default layout is. Here you can rearrange it however you want. And so, let's rotate it back a little bit. So in the event that your root node has multiple children, in that case it just gives you a pop-up menu. You can choose which child's line you want to follow in your next generation. Let's just pick the fourth child here. We'll expand a little bit more. And I think we can delve one more. I think at this point we're at the bottom of the tree. This person here, Hannah Lily Baker, has no descendants. And so here we see a problem that you run into a lot with any type of genealogical graph, is that one side of the family has been more heavily researched than another. So with a typical fan chart, you just have to waste all that space on the other side. And then you're crowding out all those nodes on the right that might deserve more space. And so if you could interactively select, okay, I don't want to see this particular branch of the family, you can just close it off. And then, you know, if you want to get rid of in-laws, that's an easy way to do it, I suppose. But it also, you know, gives more space to the nodes that you want to see at that time. You can always just restore it back to. And then the final feature I wanted to show for you is just that with any type of fan chart software, you can usually specify the number of generations that you want to see at any given time. So let's just ratchet it down really small, just to three generations really quick. And so with most fan charts, that's all you'd get. You just see the three generations. But since there's more data available, we depict that with the little radial button on the edge here. So if you want to expand just one line of the family tree selectively, you can just kind of browse it that way. So this way you can kind of forage through one direction of the family tree without having to see the entire tree. And so that could be a little bit less distracting this way if you just want to see a certain line. So that finishes the demo of the software. Now, back in January, in order to get some informal feedback on this program, we did a demo for it in the Family History Library in downtown Salt Lake City for some of the genealogy enthusiasts there. And overall, the response was very enthusiastic. They seemed to like it, especially those that were already familiar with FanChart software. They thought it was really neat that the FanCharts are just naturally suited towards interactivity. And more than one person said that this would be a fun applet to have on a big screen at a family reunion or something so that people could see how they're related. But some ideas for future work in interactive FanCharts. One might be just to give you a zoom lens or a fisheye lens on certain parts of the chart so you could blow up certain areas if you want to see them in more detail at the exclusion of others. Another multimedia extension might be to attach audio clips or video clips or pictures with certain nodes, and then if you right-click on them or something, you could get a picture or a video of a certain person. Now, one very interesting idea, too, that we haven't implemented yet, but it's certainly a good idea. So you recall from the demo when we collapsed and expanded nodes, the collapsed node disappeared entirely, and sometimes that can be distracting if you want to retain the context of where you were. So another idea might just be to reduce the collapsed node into a thin sliver so that you still remember there's something there, and then you can expand it back. And probably a really fascinating extension for me is just bringing these things to touch screen, so that instead of using a mouse to click on the fan chart, you can just click on the screen directly. Now, one big advantage of a touchscreen interface as opposed to a pen or a mouse input device is that touchscreens, you can have multiple input points because you have multiple fingers touching the screen concurrently. So that suggests a really slick interface for selecting how much space you want to give to a certain node just by dragging the edges of it with two fingers. That was inspired by seeing the zoom in, zoom out feature for the iPod Touch. That kind of thing would apply to a fan chart as well. So in conclusion, this research has taken what was just a static diagram, the fan chart, and we turned it into a dynamic tool for exploring genealogical graphs. Of course, we don't get rid of the fundamental limitations of fan charts. They're still optimized for displaying traditional families where every person has two parents and there's it doesn't show divorces or step parents very well. But that's just a fundamental limitation of fan charts. We haven't addressed that in this research. We feel like this research does have a lot of potential for making fan charts a more interactive tool, more interesting for casual genealogy users and also enthusiastic ones. And we invite people who create professional genealogy software to incorporate the ideas in this talk into their products. So that's the end of my talk. So are there any questions? Thank you for your attention. Our implementation's in Java right now.
Before you get to the touch screen, could you just click on one generation and then have an arc so that you could have it adjustable where you have your, where you've got like one side of it, where you showed the one that had fully populated on one side and just partially populated on the other, if you wanted to close that gap to give more room to the... To expand the side that had six generations
in right.
And contract the arc of the stuff that had four generations.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. That's a fine idea too. It's just kind of usually just like click on one. Where were we?
Okay, get all the way out to the one where you didn't have or was it imbalance.
Here we go.
So if you were able to, at that position, if you were able to even just grab the top arc up there and start sliding it around.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea. Thank you for that suggestion. I like that.
I get a beta, the new version.
Yes, and... Yeah, I think all the levels would collapse together, I think. Is that what you're concerned about? Yeah. Yes, up there.
Is there a way of identifying gender?
In this particular layout, everything... Well, no. We're just following the...
Your grandfather named Vivian.
Yeah, because right now we're just kind of following the convention that the father's on the left side and then the mother's on the right, at least on these. So like your Guillaume is a masculine name and then Marge would be feminine. But yeah, if you didn't know that convention, you'd be hard pressed. I mean, and ideally, this doesn't work in our prototype, but if you double click on this, it should bring up more information about the person with more detailed information, and that would, of course, contain the gender as well. Yeah, this is just kind of a idea generating prototype. Yes?
So here you're showing an incompleteness where you don't know the parent of an entire generation. Does it work equally as well when you know one parent and not the other?
It's like if we just knew like Marge's father, but not.
Right. You can stand out just in one brand.
Yeah, that'd be fine too. Yeah, there's no software limitation that would prevent that. I think one more question, quick.
Have you given much thought to being able to display different generation or different subtrees and connecting them? Maybe have.
Given that some thought, but not in any depth. So I have to talk more about that offline. That's an interesting idea.
All right. Should we close shop?